Will you please stand and join me in the prayer for illumination? Tear open the heavens, O God. Open our hearts. Let your word fall on our ears and lead us to the stable and into your love story for us and for the world. Amen. Scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
We all have our Christmas traditions, don't we? What we did yesterday here in the sanctuary, getting it ready for Christmas, are some of our Christmas traditions. Lighting the Advent wreath. And as families, we have different traditions, right? I remember as a kid, we lived out in East Brainerd and Tyner area, and we would walk out behind our house, and that there were just woods at that point. And we would find a cedar tree, and we would find really three, one for my room, one for my brother's room, and one for the living room. And I remember trudging out there, sometimes even in cold weather, and cutting down and smelling that fresh cut cedar and hauling it back across the creek and back to the house to put in our rooms and decorating those for Christmas. I remember this one time I got, as a kid, this set of unicorns that were just awesome. They were white, and they had rainbow-colored hair, and they had, like, golden bridles and flowers that you could put in their manes, and they were kind of iridescent. Oh, man, it was the best. And I have this really fond memory of opening those unicorns up and being so excited to get them. And that same year, my grandparents visited us. That same year, I got that same set of unicorns from both Santa and my grandparents. What is a girl to do? I remember actually feeling pretty insolent at the time and being like, "I've already got these." And maybe my memory is not great, but if I remember correctly, I have this distinct feeling of being chided for my insolence and told to thank my grandparents for their gifts. We've never done that to our kids before, have we? But we do indulge at Christmas. We do spoil the people that we love with the things that they want the most. We do treat each other to all sorts of wonderful gifts and pleasures. And we do make memories together at this time of year. Some of them wonderful, and some of them that clearly live with you the rest of your life. How much do you all reckon that we spend on Christmas? From a financial standpoint, we spend $1 trillion globally on Christmas. $1 trillion on one holiday around the world. So this year, we're going to do something a little differently. Because as I have seen some of you sit there kind of gap-faced at that fact, I am too, a little gap-faced, a little appalled, a little slack-jawed. What if we put Jesus back at the center of Christmas? What if we fill our souls to overflowing with the Christmas spirit, with joy and with hope and with peace and with love, instead of our stockings and the presents under our trees? I just want you to imagine for just a minute. Put all of your preconceived notions on the side. Bracket them. The simplicity of the Christmas story is this: God, the creator of the cosmos, the being in whom we live and move and breathe, who created universes and galaxies and stars and solar systems, most of which we have not even discovered or know about. That God chose to enter human life, chose to become one of us. Chose to be born in a stable to an unwed, pregnant mom. Not born in some palace, but born literally in the feeding trough of an animal. Because God loved us so much. You see, this time of year, we don't need a price tag to quantify our love, do we? I mean, does that $1 trillion, does that mean that we love each other more or less? You see, Advent is this time where we slow down, where we evaluate. I was joking with some of the ushers earlier about how Advent actually used to be the second fast of the year and penitential back in medieval Christianity. And as 21st century Christians, we kind of tend to lose ourselves in Christmas as usual. But Advent offers this break from all the malls, this break from all the lights, this break from all the spending and all the debt. Advent offers this break to slow down, to create space for God to move in us and through us, and to draw us deeper into the greatest love story ever told. And friends, we can't order it from Amazon. We can't find it in a mall or in a discount store. We enter into the story of Christ's birth in a manger because it is part of who we are. Amen? It is part of what makes us Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. Christmas is not the story to tell by marketing agencies and big box stores. It is our story, a story of a miracle, of God putting on flesh and, as Eugene Peterson says, moving into the neighborhood. And who should be better at telling that story but us? Amen? It's not a story of Santa. It's not a story of gifts. It's a story of God loving this world so much. It's a story of good news, of healing and hope. You know, in our scripture today, the shepherds were out in the field doing their job, right? What you need to know about shepherds is that they were kind of the invisibles. They were nobodies. They didn't have enough social standing in their life that and in society that they could not even testify in court because their word was considered no good. They were poor often. And they smelled like, you know what, a lot, like sheep. And yet, it is to these very people that God sent an angel to say, do not be afraid, for I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For all the people. And they stopped what they were doing, and they went to Bethlehem, and they saw what God had promised them, Mary and Joseph and a child in the manger. And the scripture says, when they saw this, they made known what had been told about this child. That he is a Savior and the Messiah. Friends, I wonder if we get so wrapped up in Christmas as usual that we miss this small little detail in this story. Jesus is the Messiah, and the shepherds go and they see Mary and Joseph and the baby, and what do? They go and they make known. They don't stay there at the manger. They go and they tell. Good news, great joy. The Messiah has been born. This is our story. And friends, it changes everything. Christ was born for everyone. No qualifiers needed. Every single human being in this world. See, I wonder this Christmas if we were meant to lay down our handfuls of things and stuff so that we can lift up our hands and worship and praise of the one who came to bring help and hope and healing to this hurting world. I wonder, with our open hands, our hands free from the things that weigh us down, if we are then free to serve and give and love just as we have been loved. Paul tells the church at Colossae that the mystery is this: Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. Christ was in that shepherd, those shepherds on Christmas night. Christ is in us during this Advent and Christmas season. It is our story to tell. If it's our story to tell and our miracle to share with our words and with our lives, I wonder then why the things that we desire how we invest our lives with our time, our talents, and our treasure, if they really reflect the God that we claim to worship. And so this year, as we reorient ourselves to the manger, we will learn about worshiping fully, about giving all that we are in praise and thanksgiving for this miracle of Jesus born in a manger, for the miracles that God is doing in our lives. We will learn to spend less money, because I don't know about you all, but $1 trillion at one holiday is absolutely appalling, and friends, it is sinful and evil. Period, end. There are people starving, people without clean water to drink, people living in sex trafficking and human trafficking. There are people who don't even have shoes for their feet or clothes for their back, and yet we are spending globally, as a people, as humanity, $1 trillion. And then we will, as we spend less, give more. Give more of what the most important thing that we have to give is. What do you think that is? It's not money. It's time. It's priceless. So it means we'll give more presence and not presents. We will give more of ourselves by spending time with people, and we will give less things. And then when it's all said and done, what we save, we will use to love all, to love those people who do not have what we have, to give to those who need, to walk in solidarity with folks, because that is what our God calls us to. And this year, what I've decided and what the council has decided is that we are a United Methodist Church, amen? Praise God, I think. We are a connectional church, and so our mission offering on Christmas Eve is going to go to support the United Methodist response to Flint, Michigan. Now, I know some of you are thinking, like, why are we helping out in Flint, Michigan? Y'all, Flint does not have clean water, still. Still. And as a church, it is our job to give people hope. Amen? As a church, it is our job, called by God, to walk in solidarity with the widow, the orphan, the outcast, and the stranger. And so our spending less and giving more will culminate in an Advent offering that we will send to our brothers and sisters who are doing not just water work, but community reorganization, rehabilitation, and restoration in Flint, Michigan as the United Methodist Church. They are working up there to fight poverty and to fight food insecurity. They are working up there to make sure that every single person has access to clean drinking water. And so I want to invite you into this Advent conspiracy this winter. I want to invite you to come into the manger, get closer. We laid all of our expectations last week into the manger. And so this week I want to invite you to, as you come to the table in a few minutes to participate in the feast of Jesus, I want to invite you to enter into this story. To say that you're not going to be part of an evil and corrupt world. To say that Christ's birth in a manger has meaning for your life and meaning for the lives of this world. It truly is a Christmas miracle. And so this year, we worship with our lives, with our hearts, and we ask God to move in us so we take this Christmas miracle seriously. to move our hearts for the same things that move God's hearts, and to drive us from the enclosure of these church walls into the places that cry out for God's liberation and healing. So that as our models in the shepherds, we go and make known what has happened, so that all who hear it are amazed and God is glorified. Amen.